Good morning. Fantastic. July the 3rd, that's that last little image there. That's today. And it's brilliant for me to be able to speak to us this morning and provoke us with the beautiful Word of God and challenge us in all sorts of different ways. Just to say, my name's Matt, and if you don't know me, I don't bite and love cups of coffee. So I'd really love to meet you if you're new here. If you are here for the first time, you're so welcome. Perhaps you're here looking in on this church and thinking, is this the kind of church that I might like to connect myself with? Again, what a brilliant day to turn up. We're going to be talking about money. Isn't that brilliant? Your timing's exquisite. But let me just encourage you, just come and be and enjoy, and I trust that you have a great morning with us. I want to say thank you to Simon and the band this morning. Simon oversees the worship department, which looks after all of our locations across the city, and it's brilliant to have him here as well. Thanks so much, Simon. Just since our prayer and worship evening, which we had 3 weeks ago now, just up in the chamber room up here. It's fantastic turnout, mainly because we did burgers, but also that we were able to gather and to pray and worship together. And during that time, I felt God prompt me to encourage you to begin to dream a little bit and to ask questions of God about this church and how we see it going forward. And so no surprise there. I've had a whole bunch of emails that have come flying in over the last couple of weeks of people saying to me, I kind of feel like God's saying this and that, and it's brilliant. I love the fact that as a community we are catching the voice of God in all that we're doing here. Just like the wind catches leaves in the tree or starlings fly together in formation, just want you to know that catching the voice of God in how we go forward is a top priority. It's the main thing. And we don't want to walk into something that God's not walking us into. We want to hear his voice in all of it. Anyway, let's dive straight in. I want you to turn, if you may, to Matthew chapter 6. That's the New Testament, one of the Gospels there. If you've got a Bible, physical Bible, fantastic. If not, use your phone. Totally fine. I won't think you're texting or anything like that or playing Candy Crush. It'll also come up on the screen behind me. Let me read to you. Do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Just before launching into the text, just want to acknowledge that it's been a pretty tumultuous sort of 10 days or so. Just resignations, criticisms from all sides, lots of people having their say, even a sense of horror in our generation that we would leave Europe after the devastating defeat by Iceland. It's just been terrible, hasn't it? I've been personally very upset about that. But no, please hear me, I'm not trivializing. It has been a very challenging time for us, hasn't it? Our nation is largely split, isn't it, over the decision to leave the EU, and that's kind of history. And I don't know whether your heart has been gripped by fear or you're cheering and you're confident about what might come. Whatever's going on for you, I want to encourage you to think biblically about what's going on. I want to encourage you in that and this change of circumstances. How should we respond as believers? What's the onus on us? Put your hands up if you've had a chance to listen to Joel Virgo, his short video on the about half of us. Let me say to you, if you've not seen it, it's just a brilliant response to all that's going on, and it's thoroughly biblical. Let me just quickly summarize it. Let's watch our conduct. If you're a believer in this room this morning, let's be careful. Let's watch our conduct. Let's not be aggressive. Let's be careful about how we relate to one another. Let's major on the love that Christ has shown for us that empowers us to love others. Some people are pretty upset about what's happened. Some people are triumphalist. Let's just be careful about how we love people. Let's not get drawn into slanging matches. It's very complicated Okay, people have voted this way or that way for all sorts of reasons. And it's not as black and white as you might think. It's very nuanced. And my encouragement to you would be to keep away from either euphoria or panic. Okay, let's just be careful about that. Both positions are false dawns. Okay, they will lead to discouragement. Our confidence is not in this decision, is it? It certainly isn't. It's not that it's unimportant, but it is secondary. And if you're a believer here this morning, I want to ask you to stay focused on the big picture. You know, in some countries of the world globally, just to be a Christian is intense. Places like Syria, Indonesia, where there's conflict. Let's not let our first world problems rob us of the joy and peace that we have in God's sovereign power over our lives. Did you know that God is going to shake history for as long as history continues? But because he's about revealing something much greater, we can welcome in a new attitude, a new sense of who he is and how he's called us. A kingdom's coming that cannot be shaken, and that's good news if you're a believer. Speaking of people who have come to realize that this church is where they want to be, how they want to be connected, how they want to be pastored, how they want to belong, it's brilliant for me from time to time to be able to say, we've got new members. And that is true this morning. Every time I get an opportunity to speak, I love to introduce new members. What's a new member? Well, that is someone who said, hey, I've discovered that my heart is joined with yours. I love the way this church is led. I love its vision. I love its forward direction. I love the way that it serves the community. I love the way that it engages families and people from all walks of life over this area. I want to say I'm in. I mean, in every way, my prayer life, my attendance, my serving, my giving, I'm with you. And it's a joy for me to just show you a picture of a couple who've recently joined us. They go to the 9 o'clock. That's Simon and Philippa Robinson. You may have met them. Even though they're not here, they were here at the 9. Can we just clap them anyway? Let's do that. So in the rest of our time together, I want to do a couple of things. I want to unpack the scripture that we read just a moment ago and then present to you the gift day details for this occasion. And then we'll sing and celebrate as we close. The kids will come back in and join us and we can give together. It was so wonderful to sit with my kids at breakfast time and put money in envelopes. And this morning we gave them into the 9 o'clock and it came out of their money boxes. It really did. And to be honest, their faces were a tad confused. But someone's got to show them, haven't we? Someone's got to model something to them. I said, what are we doing? And they said, we're giving our money to Jesus. Yes, you are. You're investing. You're sending it forward. Good news. So that's what we'll do. That's going to be fantastic. If you're a visitor here again, just sorry that it's gift day. Sorry we're talking about money. Actually, I'm not sorry at all. It's a brilliant thing that you're here. And the very first thing you're going to hear is that God cares about money, cares about your money and where you put it. And that's what we're going to tackle this morning. You know, the Bible talks a ton about money, far more about money. Jesus speaks more about money than prayer. Can you believe that? It's true. And it's his words that we're going to be looking at this morning. Do you know that we take the words of Jesus seriously because he's risen from the dead? Shall I just repeat that? We take the words of Jesus seriously because he's risen from the dead. If he wasn't, why would we bother? And we take this word, the word of God, seriously. Jesus is risen from the dead, and that is why I'm able to speak with a ton of confidence this morning on that basis. So Jesus is talking in this passage about money and how we use it, and he's highlighting the fact that we've got a choice. You know that this morning? You've got a choice. We can invest, we can give. We've got a choice between two kingdoms, a kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. In other words, God's economy or the earth's economy. And so for the sake of structure and direction, I'm going to break it into three little sections. Here we go. Two treasuries, two perspectives, and two masters. Let's go for treasury first, shall we? What's a treasury? It's where money gets stored. What are the options for us? The treasury of earth and the treasury of heaven. Let's take the treasury of earth first, shall we? You already might be thinking, hang on, back up. You're not about to tell me that it's not okay to store and save here on earth, are you? No, of course, it's absolutely fine. Wisdom suggests that financial planning and good budgeting and wise forward thinking for your family is sensible. Those are good things. In fact, my wife's not here, but in our regular planning, we try to operate an 80-10-10 principle where we spend 80% of our income, we save 10% of our income, and we give 10% of our income. We don't get that model perfectly right all of the time, but we find it as a fantastic guide to how we use our money. And do you know what? We've discovered that you can actually live on 80% of your income. Big surprise. At the same time, we also remain really open to what God's going to say on gift days like today. And we know that we're called to radical generosity and investment. Yes, so to be wise with finance is important, but hold in mind that this earthly treasury has risk attached to it. Yeah, it does. And there are no guarantees. And that's the point that Jesus is trying to make here. He's saying, hang on a second, I'm just going to draw your attention to some of those risks. So the moths and the rust and the thieves, he draws our attention to it. The treasury of earth is not totally safe and secure. Sorry about that. And therefore, logically, not fully worth leaning upon as our ultimate place of confidence. Let me just explain. You know, even rust destroys things, doesn't it, that appear to be strong, like iron. Have you got anything rusty in your house? Come on. Have you got anything rusty in your house? Yeah, loads of you have. Do you know, I bought a bike 10 years ago, and it's not that flashy. It doesn't have front suspension or anything, and it's got a hard saddle, and it's a bike anyway. And when I bought it, it was pristine. It was absolutely beautiful, and I'd like wash it and buff it and oil it and all that kind of stuff. And it didn't stay in the rain. I used to keep it in the garage. I still do. I got it out the other day. Boy, oh boy, has the rust got a hold of it. I'm afraid so. The rust has got it. It was once pristine, but it's got it. Do you know that over the decades, the financial markets have done this, and they fluctuated to different degrees? And I can remember just a couple of decades back of people investing in stocks and shares and property in the 90s, and suddenly there was a moment where it was severely depleted through a crash. A downturn, a recession. No one saw it coming. It wasn't as safe as we all thought. And we can be easily convinced of the iron-like strength, can't we, of safe and certain financial deals or property investment and even pensions. But the rust, Jesus says, will ultimately take hold. I pity the poor guy whose pension matured last week. I know the markets have recovered somewhat, but wow, that's tough. Jesus is making a point here. The earthly treasury is not that safe. Please hear me. He's not saying don't store up treasure here on earth. No, he's not saying that. He's actually commanding that we store up treasure. He's saying make the right choice of treasury. Don't make the wrong choice. He's suggesting an eternal use for your money, a different kind of treasury, a heavenly treasury, one with no risk, no uncertainty, fully guaranteed. What is this heavenly treasury? I don't have a picture of that one, I'm afraid. Jesus is pointing us to the treasury that will not last for a moment, for just a moment, one that will actually stand forever. What is it? Where is it? It's the kingdom of God. It's the heavenly treasury. And this is why Jesus came, in order to bring in the kingdom and to declare it. A treasury that will last forever, a future dwelling for the believer. And the Bible is full of ancient promises that speak of this moment of revelation. Here's a couple. Here'll be one very familiar to us. We tend to refer to this at Christmas time. Unto us a child is born, Isaiah 9. The government will be on his shoulders, and of the increase of his government, or kingdom, there will be no end. In the Bible book of Daniel, the great dream interpreter, he says, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that stands firm forever, that will never be destroyed. So it's not a kingdom that gets voted in or out by the whims of man, but it grows, not wither. It will never be divided or conquered. And at the end of the ages, every other kingdom will be destroyed and will fall and fade. Only the kingdom of God will stand. This is the treasury that we're encouraged to invest in. This is the thing that Jesus came to usher in and to declare. And he offers this this new horizon to us who would believe him. So So what's he saying? He's saying, invest your treasure into this kingdom. Why? Because it will last forever. No natural disaster is going to ruin it. No moth, no rust. No one's going to whip it from under your nose. Did you also notice in the text that it says this? Store up treasure for yourselves. Okay. What's he saying here then? He's almost suggesting like the money that we invest in the kingdom, it's not going into some kind of global pot for Christians and it's going to get divvied up in the end times. No. He's saying, look, send it forward. It's more like a personal bank account waiting for you. It's a bit hard to get your head around, isn't it? But as you invest in this heavenly treasury, you're actually doing two things. You're building the kingdom here on earth, we'll get to that in a minute, and simultaneously sending our treasure forward into eternity and investing it well now. Perhaps I can describe it like this. One day, money on this earth will be personally worthless to you, either through economic disaster or at your death. You can't take it with you. Or when Jesus comes again, but choosing to invest in the heavenly treasury of the kingdom of God is like an exchange. Swapping now your earthly treasure for the safe and secure currency of heaven that will last forever, that you will personally get to enjoy. So two treasuries. Treasure on earth, you can't keep it. Treasure in heaven, you can't lose it. Let this provoke our investment strategy. When you get this, when you realize this is what we're being invited to, everything changes. The way you feel about money, you're thinking about your future, everything changes. Did you know that the wonderful thing for us is that there is a fail-safe promise attached to it as well? I love this. A little bit further on in the passage it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. What's he talking about there? He's talking about his personal care for you. He's talking about the fact that he knows all about your needs. He's talking about those things that trouble you and concern you in this life. He knows about them. He's promised. He's saying, trust me, I'll meet every need. Invest in my kingdom and all of these good things will be catered for. I know there are stories around this room. Even heard one just a couple of weeks ago, having a coffee with a guy and just God coming right through for him in a financial circumstance. Just glorious story. So there we go, that's two treasuries, two perspectives. Remember in the passage, Jesus going on about the eye, isn't he? He's talking about the eye and light and darkness. What's this eye thing about? Well, it's about perspective, that's the word, okay? Getting a perspective about your life is key to how you see your life. Perhaps you need to get hold of a biblical perspective about your life this morning. I know that in preparing for this, that was what was happening to me. I'm just being refreshed again about how to look at my life. Maybe you've never grasped how short your life is. Did you know that if you are a believer, this incredible life that we live on this planet is just a moment in eternity? What perspective have you got this morning about yours? Let's have a quick look at the screen. I've got a little line here. There we go. That's an interesting PowerPoint, isn't it? Just humour me for a moment, okay? You're living on the dot. Just turn to the person next to you, say, we're living on the dot. Yes, you are. And the line, okay, the line represents eternity, okay? Unfortunately, PowerPoint don't do an eternity format, so otherwise we'd be able to just better show you better. But that's clearly not eternity, but The point I'm making here is that the short-sighted person lives for the dot. Oh, the dot. Lives for the now. Conversely, a person with true biblical perspective lives for the line. A healthy perspective of eternity changes everything, including how you feel about your brief lives right now. You know, our brains can't quite cope with it, but one day we will. One day you will see with full clarity how brief your life was on this planet. So with this healthy biblical perspective beginning to settle in your hearts, what does it mean for us and our finances this morning? How do you transfer treasure from the dot to the line? Simple. It's by giving and investing into this kingdom that Jesus is talking about, this heavenly treasury. What's your perspective this morning? Thinking about the now without any regard for eternity? Or are you beginning to have your eyes opened to a new horizon? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to cultivate in our hearts a right perspective of eternity. Allow it to shape the perspective of today, perhaps even this morning. Thirdly, to masters, Jesus is so clear about the capacity of the human heart. Do you know that? Some relationships, just by their very nature, are built for exclusivity. So if my wife was here, sorry, Tal, you're not as good looking as my wife, but if my wife was here, I'd be saying to her, there's only place in my heart for you, Alison. There's no capacity for another. Jesus is saying, do you know there's only space for one master? One God in your heart? Let me ask you today, which God has taken up residence for you? The God of heaven or the God of money? Is Jesus on the throne of your heart? Do you know, for a whole bunch of us, up goes my hand, okay? I'm including myself in here. A statement like this will be very challenging and provoking because we're fickle, because we're tempted to trust temporal things, including finance. Money promises so much, doesn't it? But it never delivers permanency. It promises security and pleasure. But we know, don't we, that only God can provide true fulfillment. Anybody in the room feel like a fulfillment this morning in worship as we considered truth, as we sang it with our mouths, as we verbalized how good God is, what a good Father He is? Is that just me? Of course it wasn't. Loads of us in this room know that He is the true fulfillment giver. He's a good, generous Father, and He invites us to trust Him this morning. Maybe you're here as someone who would say, do you know what? I'm not sure about this God thing. I really like this community. I'm enjoying being around it, and maybe it's your first time here today. Let me say to you that if you've never been able to say hand on heart and fully confident of a step towards Jesus, maybe this morning is that opportunity for you. I'd love to pray with you after. If you feel, actually, I'm going to make this step towards Jesus this morning. As we step towards Him, He steps towards us. In fact, the Bible says He's not very far from any of us. He's a good God. Let me just sum up then. So this isn't really about money, is it, today? Not really. It's a worship issue. It's a trust issue. Who are you trusting this morning? Who's on the throne in your heart? Which kingdom will be your choice as we move forward? I'm going to just lay a kingdom investment before you, if that's okay with you guys. You're going to be up for that. And when you get it in your heart, all that God is saying, when you understand truly who your true master is, this perspective that's being laid before you, and this kingdom of God treasury that's worth investing, I tell you, we can go far as a church in Him and with Him. Just want to talk about a few things that we're going for. In that video, just touched very lightly on those things. Let me just speak about those in detail a bit more now. New Day is a brilliant event for many, many thousands of young people that happens in Norfolk each year. And we would love to confidently pay for those 11 to 14s that are here in this church to go, all expenses paid, and the team, so that we can bless them, so they will find themselves loving the event, coming back changed. Did you know that our 11 to 14s is about to grow hugely? We have got many, many children in this church. We've got over 100 children on our books, and we're well over 50 kids coming to both our services every week. The future of this church is our young people, and we want to get the gospel in their hearts right now. So how about that one as a starter? I would love you to feel like you're investing in the kingdom of God in that way. We also love the work of charities around this town, in this area. I have recently had the privilege of praying with Bill Connell, who's now with Jesus. He passed away some weeks back, and just going and visiting the Barnabas House Hospice. What a fantastic work they are doing, bringing dignity to end of life. And I think it'd be brilliant to be able to just give them a gift. No strings, just here's a gift from us. We're a church, we love the work that you do. That would be great, wouldn't it? CCK Kids, the children of this church, as I've already said, they're the future. We want to keep resourcing them so that actually the work and the energy and the effort that goes into loving families and young kids in this church is paramount for us. We want to get that right. We want to keep giving them all that they need in every way. The Shoreham Centre, this building that we're in, I lead the trust, the management trust that looks after this building and runs it on behalf of Ada District Council. It's a privilege of mine. And the trust that I lead, we're constantly looking at ways to improve the building so that it serves the whole community. I would love to go to them in a week or two and say, hey, we'd like to completely refurbish rooms 1 and 2 in the hallway, the areas that are still looking a bit ropey. I'd love to bless the team here and the community here by doing that. And even better, I'd like to engage the Friends First charity, who run a pathway to employment scheme for people who are being rehabilitated into community life. I'd love to say to them, you guys have the contract and do the work. Wouldn't that be a brilliant double blessing for this Shoreham Centre? Intern support. We love to have interns in this church, training them theologically, but also skilling them up in life skills. And we are going to be running a large internship as a whole church. I'd love to be able to pay for a couple of those interns to be supporting us here on Sundays in one department or another. But it would be great to pay for that, and so that we can say, look, you know, come and do an internship in this site. Be a blessing to us. It's going to be paid for. Let's go for it. Westival was in its fourth year. Just had a brilliant time at Westival. Summer was beautiful. The whole thing was such a success. And we found ourselves needing to buy one or two assets like marquees and barbecues, the kind of things that we will use year on year. So we would love to be able to kind of earmark some money to say, yeah, we're going to pay for some capital assets so that we can keep doing Westival. And as the years go on, we can keep adding to it and making it better and bigger. But the one I want to bring to your attention most of all is what we're calling the Building Fund. Okay? Oh, look, I like the way it came in the PowerPoint then. And it's in capitals as well. There you go. It just helps you understand how I'm feeling about this. I want you to know that, as was mentioned in the video, that it's in my heart that God would build with us a church, a large church with multiple services. One that serves this area superbly. I think we're doing great, but do you think there's more? Yeah. Oh, I think there's so much more. I think there is so much more. There's so much more we can do. And it's been in my heart and in Tal's and one or two other team members about what could we begin to dream about? Is it possible for us to perhaps put roots down in a different part of this local area, but not so that we can localize ourselves and be a holy huddle and just serve ourselves? No. But wouldn't it be amazing if we were able to begin to think about a community hub that serves this whole area, a place that serves families, a place that serves business, a place that serves just the growing demands of the arts and of social services, social housing? I'll tell you, the options are endless. Wouldn't it be amazing to be part of a plan to develop something for this area where we get to have a big say in it, but we pull in all sorts of stakeholders and others that want to invest with us and to collaborate with different agencies and organisations, maybe even the council, who knows? But that's something I want to be involved in. I want to do it because I know that the Word of God says, serve where you live. Seek the welfare of where you live, because that's where you find your welfare. This is our Kingdom of God opportunity, and I want you to begin to feel that you could add and invest into what really, to be frank, is just a dream at the moment. I've got some fantastic guys and girls looking at what that might shape up to be, and just in even recent days we've had an amazing time of thinking, perhaps it's this that God's calling us to. I know for me personally, I want the next 5 years of my life to count. God has brought many, many town influencers and culture shapers across my path. And I'm thinking, why God? Why are you doing that? Well, I'm beginning to see it. And I trust that the many people that I've met and beginning to discuss with and talk with are these people that God is going to bring to us. Just like Nehemiah went to the king and the king said, what do you need? And he said, well, I need this, that and the other. And he said, well, there you go, have it. How about that? We want to be a people, don't we, where people say, have what you need to build this beautiful thing. So that's what we're looking to do. I want to encourage you to invest into the kingdom of God this morning. I'm going to invite the band up. And as the band come and get ready, why don't we stand to our feet as well. I know you've been sitting down. You can stand if you like, or you can lie on the floor, I don't care. But we're going to worship. We're going to enjoy God again once more. I'm not going to be taking communion this morning, but we are going to give. And you might be here this morning thinking, oh no, it's gift day and I haven't really thought it through. It's okay, calm down, it's okay. I want you to take stock of what we've heard this morning. I want you to take stock of the incredible pulling power of the Word of God, the truth that comes to our hearts. I want you to have a little think this morning. Maybe you need to chat with your spouse if you have a spouse. Maybe you need to just pray. Let me encourage you to do that. Please pray. Why don't you pray together with those that you came with? Let me say to you that there's a giving form, and the towel's waving one in the air. There's a giving form on your seat in front of you that you can use. Maybe this morning you've come and you're like, I know exactly what I'm doing. I know exactly what I'm doing. Praise God for you. Perhaps you've come this morning and you've just thought, I don't really know what to do. Well, we've got some time. Let's just ask God to speak to us. Perhaps you're someone here who's got great need. And that will be the case. Let me just say, would you write your need down in that piece of paper? Stick it together, pop it in the bucket. I can't wait to open it and work out how we can serve you. Maybe you're struggling with budgeting and finances. We're a church that wants to serve, and we want to serve you with budgeting. We want to serve you and say, hey, look, you know, do it this way, do it that way. Let's get this right for you. Let's be a blessing to you. It would be great, wouldn't it, if each of us felt able to come forward this morning and put something in a bucket, whether it's a need, whether it's a pledge or an IOU, whether it's just something you just need help with. Please, let's enjoy being a family together. The children are about to join us. If you are a parent of a child in purple cogs, please can I ask you to go and fetch them right now. And we are going to give and celebrate as a family together. Tal will lead us in that, so let's be led by Simon to start with, and then when people feel ready, Tao will encourage us to come forward and give in the buckets. Let's celebrate together. We've got 10 minutes, no need to rush, plenty of time to consider the goodness of God again in our lives. Let me just pray. Father, thank you for your word that is without error. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that is the most glorious helper ever. Thank you that you come right alongside, Lord, and you make truth stick out on stalks to us, Lord. I pray for every trembling heart in this room this morning, whether it's trembling out of excitement or trembling out of fear. God, would you be the peace? Would you be the one that comes and brings great peace to our hearts? Lord, we love it that you are calling us to so much more. We love it that you are calling us to an adventure. We love it that you are calling us to be a people renowned for radical generosity. Lord, we love your work in our lives. You've been so radically generous to us, Lord, and we acknowledge it this morning. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.